This is not what you're used to. It's time to stop being people who just sit in the pews and pretend doing is enough. You see, Jesus wanted more. It's time to shed all man-made labels and just be followers of Christ. Welcome to the truth of Jesus. Welcome to the Broken Pastor Podcast.
Welcome to the Broken Pastor Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Art Schoonmaker. And so far on our journey together, we have talked a little bit about what this podcast is. I've shared my testimony with you. I got to say the feedback has been incredible. I've gotten dozens and dozens of messages from people in support, people asking for prayer, people just, they're waiting for the next episode. So here it is. We're going to start right now with the Apostle Paul and the 13 letters that he wrote to the churches. And there's some historical debate about the chronological order of the letters. I found one that seems to be supported by several theologians, and it's the one I'm going to use. And because of that, we're going to start in the book of Galatians, which I think is just a wonderful place to start. It's probably my favorite book in the Bible, is the book of Galatians. It hits everything that I think the church, the American people, not even the American people, the people of the world need to hear in 2024. So let's get started. Today, it's going to be Galatians 1, chapters 1 through 10. I read out of the NIV. That is the New International Version of the Bible. I know there are people who like it. There are people who don't. If you want to follow along in your King James Version or your Message Version, doesn't matter to me. Whatever gets you closer to God, whatever gets you closer to the Word of God, closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ, absolutely perfect with me. The fear of man is a snare, wrote Solomon in Proverbs 29:25. Today we'll talk about this as we dig into what Paul wrote to the Galatian church around 50 AD. Paul elaborated on what Solomon wrote, saying if we fear men, we cannot be the servants of Christ. It's a heavy statement, something we're going to get much more into during this episode. I love history, so often during this podcast, you'll get to learn something about history as well as hopefully something about God's word. Galatia was not a city, it was an entire region. The Galatians who inhabited this area were originally from Gaul, or present-day France, and they migrated south to the region in present-day Turkey. Julius Caesar once said of the Galatians, they're fickle, fond of change, and not to be trusted. I think that will be very clear to you once we get into this text. Paul learned firsthand that what Julius Caesar said about the Galatians was true. If you take a look back at Acts 14, you see, Paul and Barnabas are in Galatia, and they healed a man that had been lame from birth. This area had a mythological tradition of visits from Greek and Roman gods, and they immediately started to worship Paul and Barnabas as Hermes and Zeus. That's the beginning of chapter 14, verses 8 through 18. And then in verse 19, those very same people were persuaded by some Jews from Antioch to stone Paul, drag him from the city, and leave him for dead. So they went from worshiping him as a god to wanting to kill him in a very short amount of time. Those were the people of Galatia, like Julius Caesar said, fickle, fond of change, and not to be trusted. Want to see just how amazing it is to walk in the Spirit and live in the gospel? Paul wrote this letter, this incredible message about the absolute necessity of standing in liberty and following the one true gospel to the very people that tried to kill him. That is a message directly for 2024 from the Apostle Paul in the Word of God. There is so much want of vengeance and payback in our modern society, yet here is Paul writing a letter of love, a letter of hope, a letter of how they can be saved through Christ to the people that tried to kill him. So let me set the stage for this book, and then we'll start digging into scripture. The most pressing controversy in the early church was the relationship of new believers, especially Gentiles, to the Jewish laws. This was especially a problem for the converts and for the young churches that Paul had founded on his missionary journey. Paul wrote to correct this problem. Galatians was written because there was a bunch of Judaizers that were coming in behind Paul everywhere he taught and telling the Gentile believers that they needed to obey Jewish law in order to be saved and to call Christians to faith and freedom in Christ. In this book, we will be digging into four main themes: the law, faith, freedom, and the Holy Spirit. There is no more passionate, comprehensive, yet concise statement of the gospel than Galatians. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. I could spend a half hour on this podcast just saying that sentence over and over because it's true. No amount of works can bring us salvation. We can stand justified before God through Jesus. There's nothing else that can earn us that justification. Let's begin. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Paul begins his epistles in one of two ways. He either introduced himself as a servant or prisoner of Christ, or he presented himself as an apostle. In this letter to the Galatians, he presents himself as an apostle. So why the difference? To those that embraced and welcomed his ministry, he was a servant. However, to those that challenged his authority, he was an apostle sent from Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what was happening here in Galatia. The Judaizers had come into the region after Paul planted churches and taught the true gospel. They came in and said, yeah, we know what Paul told you, but it's really not that simple. So you need to do all that stuff Paul said, but you also need to be circumcised and follow Jewish law, because without that, you can't have the grace and freedom of Jesus. There are three R's that I absolutely despise. I know they aren't writing, reading, and arithmetic. They are the three R's of religion: rules, regulations, and rituals. We'll see throughout this book that Paul wasn't a fan of these things either. And we'll discover in our time together that I'm not a fan of what Western religion and culture has done to what should be a very simple and beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a quote that has been contributed to a couple of different sources, but it describes in heartbreaking detail the reason that people like my younger self turn in the directions we do. The number one cause of atheism is Christians. Those who proclaim him with their mouths and deny him with their actions is what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. What happens all too often is people come in with a good heart and say things like, you believe in Jesus, that's great, but it's not quite enough. See, you have to be a member of our church, or you have to go door to door, or you have to tithe this amount of money, or you have to go through another person to talk to God, or this, or this, or this. I want to tell you something that I hope resonates strongly with you. Whenever you hear the word "and" in conjunction with belief, then what you're hearing is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul will lay that out very clearly over the course of this letter. Let's jump back into scripture, verses 3 through 5 in Galatians 1. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul often links grace and peace at the beginning of his letters. Why? Because man will never know peace until he understands grace. Grace is unmerited, unearned, and undeserved favor. There's an old acrostic that really does say it perfectly: God's riches at Christ's expense. Not because of anything you or I have done, but because of who Christ is and what he did. We don't need to go through rituals. We don't need to live under the oppressive and impossible weight of the law. We just need to live in the freedom that we have been freely given. God's plan all along was to save us by Jesus' death. We've been set free from the slavery of this world through the blood of Jesus Christ. This world is ruled by Satan. That dominion was given to him by Adam and Eve way back in Genesis. If you aren't sure that statement is true, then look at Matthew 4, 8, and 9 when Satan offered Jesus rule of this world if he were just to bow down to him. Jesus didn't question Satan's right to make that offer. Being rescued from this evil age doesn't mean we're taken out of it, but that we're no longer enslaved to it. We have been saved to live for God. Verses 6 through 9. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Wow. You see, there is only one gospel. No matter what somebody says, no matter how flowery they talk, no matter what people tell you you have to believe, there's only one gospel. And when we hear that gospel, there are four paths we can walk down. The first one, it's accepted just as it is. Hearts and lives are changed and the angels sing in heaven. Number two, it's rejected. Now, while this is sad, it never has to be the end. Just look at my story. I rejected the gospel message, yet here I am on this podcast telling everyone about it. You can move from number two to number one. Your family and friends that don't believe, they can move from number two to number one. Number three, it's accepted, but it seems too easy. We say to ourselves, this is great, but there's no way that Jesus can save me. I need to accept Jesus into my life, and I need to do, remember what I said earlier? Whenever you hear the word end in conjunction with belief, then what you are hearing is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do to earn extra favor with God. We love Jesus. And then all of a sudden we go, well, man, that's just a little too scary to just trust in that. So let me help him. Let me help him by doing stuff. And we begin to add all of these religious activities to our life in order to save us. Now, let me tell you why that simply doesn't work and why our culture doesn't help us. I study my Bible. I pray. I fast. I'm involved in a lot of spiritual disciplines, but I do those things because they increase my intimacy with Jesus Christ. They push me further into my relationship with Christ. I don't do those things to be saved. I am saved. So I do those things. Do you understand the difference? My great fear and the perversion of this lane is that they quit trusting in their relationship with Christ as salvation and begin to trust in themselves and the religious activities that they do. And that's madness, because it's akin to how we feel about celebrities. What I mean by that is think about all the popular magazines out there, like People and Us Weekly, you know, gossip columns. We love information about people we don't know. And if you'll listen to people talk, we talk like we know him, don't we? Oh, I love Oprah. I really understand her. No, you don't. We talk as though we know people we don't know. And that's what happens every week in churches. Oh, I know Jesus. I just read a parable. Or yeah, I know Jesus and I'm saved. I just have to make sure that I say this certain prayer whenever I mess up to make sure that Jesus continues to love me. No, you don't. If you think you know Jesus because you were baptized or because your parents are Christian or because you say grace before meals or because you sit in a church every Sunday, yet you never spend any time developing your relationship with him, then I fear that you're on path three. I fear that you're someone that says, I need Jesus, and Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I love math. I'm a math guy. I was a nuclear engineer in the Navy. Jesus plus nothing is the best equation ever. Jesus plus nothing equals everything, because Jesus doesn't need our help saving us. He's got this covered, folks. And number four, and this one is so prevalent in today's society. People hear the gospel message and say, so, wait a minute, I can just do whatever I want and Jesus will continue to save me? Here's what that looks like. We go to church once a week. We listen to the preacher yell at us. We shake some hands with people and then we go home. Jesus becomes this compartmentalized portion of our life. He's fine as long as he stays over there in the Sunday morning box. the weight of the gospel, the grace of the gospel, the glory of the gospel has actually made no significant impact on our lives. So we just continue to live exactly how we want. Sin has no weight of shame on us. We truly don't believe the wages of sin are death, so we just continue doing what we want. We do all that and think to ourselves, it's okay. Jesus has got my back. He'll keep forgiving me for doing this. Now let me say this. Yes, Jesus will forgive every sin, any sin. No sin is beyond his forgiveness. However, if you are walking on path number 4, then you never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you never experienced salvation. Because in order to do that, to accept Christ as your Savior, you have to believe the gospel. And if you truly believe the gospel, then its message and the accompanying relationship you will develop with Jesus Christ will start to mold and shape you. It will transform your life. And this thought of, I can do what I want and Jesus has to forgive me, will seem so foreign to you that it won't even cross your mind. Every day we meet Christians who are walking path 3. They're trying so hard to impress God with their busyness and 100 different religious activities, but there's no real love for God. And if those people are honest, they'd tell you they're exhausted. It's too much for them. I used to be a youth pastor, and I'll tell you, so many of my students, as they got a little older and closer to college, would tell me, well, I tried God and it just didn't work for me. No, you didn't. You didn't. Here's the example I would give to them. It's like if you tried to develop a love for someone just by looking at their social media. You saw their favorite things, their favorite movies, music, books, etc. You watched some of those movies, you listened to some of that music, you even read some of those books, but you never fell in love with that person. You couldn't possibly fall in love with that person because you never actually knew them. You just knew about them. Collecting information is not the same thing as developing a relationship. We also meet those who are walking path 4. The gospel has no bearing on their lives. Church, it's just another activity to them. Their attendance at church, they hope, is buying them enough fire insurance to stay out of hell. Jesus is just a thing in their life, but he doesn't sit over anything. Galatians will attack both paths 3 and 4 and try to anchor us in the middle. For anyone walking path number 2, it will present the gospel to you as Jesus intended it to be presented through Paul. Paul is very direct in this part of the letter. No one, not another human, not even an angel from heaven, can proclaim a new gospel. There is only one way given to us by God to be forgiven of sin, and that is believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. No other person, method, or ritual can give eternal life. In an attempt to be open-minded and tolerant, many churches have asserted that all religions offer equally valid paths to God. I live in America, and this amazing country offers many freedoms, but just because man's law says something, just because society says something, it doesn't mean it's right. If you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then God has provided you one option for salvation, one option for eternal life, and his name is Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I started today with Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected. You see, the fear of man brings 3 things. Try to fit in with a group of people at work or maybe non-Christian family or friends. Try and speak their lingo, laugh at their jokes, be cool like them. It will end in disaster. Just ask David. The first thing that the fear of man brings is humiliation. We see this in 1 Samuel chapter 21. David arrives in Gath and is immediately recognized. Oh no, thought David, they know who I am. So the scripture teaches us that he did what? He changed his behavior before them. He acted like a madman around them, scrabbling up the gate and letting spittle run down his beard. Now David's plan worked, but the man that had slain Goliath was so afraid of being known and Saul finding him that he let himself be humiliated and embarrassed up to this day. Here we are thousands of years later, still talking about David acting like a fool out of his fear of man. The second thing that the fear of man brings is devastation. Samuel sent Saul to do battle with the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel gave him very specific instructions to completely destroy every man, woman, child, infant, oxen, sheep, camel, and donkey. So basically a scorched earth campaign on the Amalekites. But then this happened. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 13 through 23. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Saul answered, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Years later, Saul was wounded in battle. With his last breath, he asked his attacker from where he came. "I am an Amalekite," was the reply. Saul not only lost his crown, but he lost his life because of his fear of man. Finally, the fear of man brings disqualification. In Exodus, we see Moses come down from the mountaintop to find the people of Israel dancing around a golden calf. When Moses asked the high priest Aaron what happened, Aaron replied, "It's not my fault. The people brought me their golden earrings. All I did was throw them in the fire." With that, Aaron was removed from the kind of ministry he could have had. The sad reality of it is this. My Christian brothers and sisters around the globe have to worry about being killed, beaten, thrown out of their homes or their communities when they share the gospel or are caught reading the word. They have to worry about the raised fist or the raised weapon. Yet despite that, the gospel is spreading like wildfire in some of the darkest places on earth. Those Christian brothers and sisters have bought fully into what Paul was telling us today in this letter to the Galatians. Here in America, people only have to worry about a raised voice or a raised eyebrow when it comes to sharing our faith. Yet too many of us sit on our hands with our mouths closed when the time comes to raise our hands and speak out. Let me take that a step further. We don't just worry about the raised voice or raised eyebrow. We fear them. We are terrified about what other people think about us and what they say about us and what they write about us on social media. On last week's episode, I shared my testimony. Go back and check it out. One part I left out was how affected I used to be by what others said and wrote about me. I always considered it a sign of strength that I would argue with others and hold grudges based on what they said. I realized soon after accepting Jesus into my life that it wasn't strength. It was fear. It was fear of what those people thought about me that caused me to react. I had to lay that on the altar and even work through some of it with an amazing Christian counselor, and it's something that I still occasionally struggle with. We're going to wrap up today with a prayer and a plea. If there's something that you consider a strength, but when you look at it, you realize, no matter how hard it is to realize and admit that exists outside of the gospel, that it exists outside of your relationship with Christ, then I ask you to lay it at the cross. Let me pray for you guys. Father God, thank you for just everybody listening to this podcast, Lord. Everybody seeking the truth of your word, Lord. I pray that they continue to take this truth and bring it back to their Christian groups, to their congregations in their churches, their Bible studies, their men's breakfasts, their outreach programs, whatever it is. I just pray that they take this truth and they bring it and share it with other Christians, because that is the whole point of this, Lord, is to increase knowledge of you, of your word, of what it is that you really want out of us, your servants. We pray for peace, Lord, in people's lives. We pray for calmness. We pray that they would understand grace, even though true grace has a heaviness to it, Lord, which we'll continue to get into in this book of Galatians. Lord, we thank you for this time together. In your precious and holy name. Amen.
This is not what you're used to.